Okay, now we're going to switch gears from chapter 6 to chapter 7, and we're shifting gears from the pattern of offense to the pattern of pleasure. The pattern of pleasure. The author says, there are times in life when any number of things that promise us pleasure do nothing more than leave us prisoner to strongholds of struggle, pain, and shame. Are you kidding? Yeah. Can you imagine it? What kind of things can you think of that would offer you a moment of pleasure, but then turn around and bite you and cause you to be prisoner? Eating a lot of cake and ice cream. Oh, man. Well, and the funny thing is that kind of thing you don't usually feel right away on the moment. But if you do that enough, yeah, you're gonna notice some effects. Anything else? Yes, Jackson. And he pointed right to lust, a lust that we're trying to fight. And he's absolutely right. And that could be almost anything, right? You think of vices. What are some vices that people become prisoner to that once they thought was just going to bring them pleasure? Any type of liquid substance, alcohol, any type of other substance, powders, other things, drugs, any type of, you talk about lust and addictions and pornography and those types of things. Cigarettes, whatever it is, I'm just off the top of my head. These are things people typically go to. These are standard vices in our day and age, and people think, this is just my pleasure. I can stop this at any time. And then what do we know when we go over to the rehab houses and ask them, how come you couldn't stop that at any time? Explain that to me. And what would be their warning? Don't start, because you can't just stop it at any time. Right? These are the kinds of things he's talking about. What was initially meant to provide a moment of comfort, maybe entertainment, enjoyment, or escape, soon became a habit or standard coping mechanism that was reinforced, strengthened, and ingrained. It goes back to that idea of ingraining patterns, ingrained in your mind over time. And as I mentioned when Steve brought up cake and ice cream, while we usually don't notice a single negative effect in the moment, we often find them beginning to take their toll over time, in the progress of time. Because if you eat a lot of cake and ice cream, what's going to happen physically? Yeah, you're going to be in a position like me where you got to buy new clothes because you're getting a little portly. Because I'm addicted to that whole thing called sugar. And so if I'm going to have a cup of coffee, it is an excuse to pour in heaping spoons of sugar. If I'm going to have something for lunch, eating is just an excuse to go to the dessert menu. If I'm going to, yeah, me and sugar just don't mix, right? Now that's a me thing. And then I'm going to have to be going on diets, I'm going to have to be doing all this stuff, buying new clothes. Those are physical effects, but what will that also do to the body? What kind of effect does sugar have on a body? Too much. What kind of effect does too much salt have on a body? What kind of effect does too much anything have on a body? And you have health problems when you get older. And all of a sudden you're like, ugh. You don't ever see those effects in the moment, but boy, do they take their toll over time. Only by then, we're experiencing things we never even considered and find ourselves trapped in the pattern of pleasure. It all begins with a thought. What's the thought? This should bring me a certain amount of joy or happiness. Only it usually delivers anything but. Therefore, before we get caught up in the world's pleasure pattern, we need to understand the progression of thoughts that lead us there. Otherwise, our negligence to take those thoughts captive will guarantee they do what? It'll guarantee they take you captive. And here are four of them he lists off the top. Doing what feels good will make me happy. And in fact, I deserve to be happy right now. I deserve it right now to be happy. My happiness is determined by my immediate circumstances. And I'll be happy when I finally get what I want. Those are the top four things that people often talk about when it comes to happiness or the pattern of pleasure. Right? And so we'll look at them one at a time. Not all today, probably, for the sake of time. Doing what feels good will make me happy. We go after newer, faster, shinier, bigger things because we assume they'll make us happy, right? We seek the kind of circumstances we assume will provide us ease. We seek the companionship of people, even to the extent of using them, because we assume they'll bring us pleasure. We just can't get enough of it. Now, let me park on that people thing for a minute, because when you're a teenager and you're sitting around the house bored, and your parents come and tell you how they will happily help you become unbored, but that means, you know, chores and lawn and digging stuff and weeding, whatever, and all those boring things. You might as well just die bored, because you'll be happier bored than doing that. You know, when your parents come along and help you with that, you're looking for anything else to do. So what are you doing? You're going through your phone going, oh man, who's available? Who's available? Who's available? Who's available? Who's available? Who's available? And why am I doing that? You want to talk about using people? I'm calling you because I'm bored and want to do something fun, but it's boring to do it myself. I need someone else to make this fun. Therefore, I'm calling you. Nobody thinks that deeply, right? But that's what's happening. And so what are they essentially doing? Using people for their pleasure. Nobody thinks that deep. If I have to talk to my boys about that, I'm not saying they do that, but I've warned them about that, because that's a typical male pattern. Use everybody for my pleasure, use everybody for my happiness. I'll go out here, we'll go out there, we'll call up some pal and chum, and it doesn't even matter who it is, it's just another body to do something fun. I hope I at least like them. We do this all the time. We just can't get enough pleasure. And that's what the author's talking about. Oddly, however, all kinds of research, and not just faith-based research, but actual other research, shows that the fastest way to be unhappy is to try to make our lives all about being happy. It's called the pleasure paradox, or the happiness illusion. Simply stated, the harder we chase after happiness, the more elusive it becomes. What do you think, true or false? Do you know that mentally, or do you know that experientially? Yes, both. Doing what feels good makes me happy. So our culture says happiness is found by pursuing pleasure. God says happiness is found by pursuing him. After all, why else do you think he says things like, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Why else do you think he says things like, happy is the people whose God is the Lord, or rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Who's the object of all that gladness and happiness? Every single verse. So we're pursuing personal pleasure. God is saying, yeah, go ahead and pursue a person, just not the wrong person. You're pursuing yours. Pursue me. You want to be happy? Pursue me. The danger, of course, is pursuing God with the idea that he's simply the means to our happiness, right? As if his job is to provide us with whatever we think we need to be happy. That's his job. Is that the right idea? No, it's not the right idea. We don't pursue God just so he'll bless us and make us happy. It's that we have God, and because he alone is the greatest blessing ever, we are happy. That's in him. We don't pursue pleasure, we pursue God. Happy people don't chase after happiness, they chase after God. That's when happiness catches them. And then you move to the next thought. I deserve to be happy right now. This thought pattern is rooted in the premise that nothing is more important than my what? Nothing is more important than my happiness. Do people think that way? Do you know anyone thinks that way? Because if I think I deserve to be happy, or that God's greatest desire is simply my happiness, then all I'll be constantly thinking about is what? What makes me happy? That's it. So I'm going to think about what makes me happy. Who's the God of that universe? I am. And before we dismiss that as obviously silly, we have to consider that this is the predominant theme of today's advertising. You get that right? I deserve to be happy right now is the predominant theme of today's advertising. Where between 4,000 and 10,000 times per day, on average, this thought is drilled into our heads by advertisers. And it works so well that corporate America is slated to spend a whopping, I had to look this up, $360 billion in advertising this year. The book was written in 2024. This year, 2026. $360 billion with an average 9.5% increase in that spend projected year over year. So about 10% more every year goes to advertising to promote this one message. I deserve to be happy right now. Question, why do they spend that much? It works. That's why they do it. It works. It works. If our lives are dominated by the thought that I deserve to be happy, we'll believe immediate pleasure is the path we should always take, right? We'll think that whatever makes us happy must be right, and whatever makes us unhappy, well, that's wrong, right? I'm always going to go to the path of happiness, path of happiness, path of happiness, path of unhappiness. Nope, we don't go there. That's wrong. Of course, that only means that a lot of what we think is right will be wrong, and a lot of what we think is wrong will actually be right. That's the paradox, right? Now consider this list of things that don't make us immediately happy, but are in fact in our best interests. And he lists a couple. I'm just going to go through them because I thought they were humorous. Something that will not make me immediately happy, but actually is in my best interest. Guess what? Waking up early. The immediate effect of waking up early is hating life and everyone in it for the first hour of the day. Too early. I call it the ungodly hour, right? People up there at 4 and 5 in the morning, ungodly. Why would you do that? The long-term benefit, though, is feeling like you've gotten a day's worth of work accomplished before you've even sat down to have breakfast. You've been so productive. And that production is doing something for you. Another thing that won't make us immediately happy but is in our best interest, exercise. Anybody like that word? Or is that like a, nope, don't say that word here. Exercise. The immediate effect is sweating like a pig and questioning your life choices. Why would anybody do this? We pay this gym to let us come here and kill ourselves. The long-term benefit, health, wellness, being physically fit, and potentially living longer. You know, the thing about exercise is, why don't you go to these exotic places usually on vacation when you're younger? Why doesn't that happen? Why aren't you touring the world in your 20s and early 30s? Why are people usually not doing that? Money. Thank you, honey. She knows. We're in that boat. Yeah, we're in the no money boat over here. But yeah, no money. In other words, they're saving for retirement. They've got their kids that are just eating them out of house and home. And man, these kids are so expensive. They want this. They want that. They want this. So all your money is going to these kids. They better appreciate this. Or it's going to keeping the lights on in your house. You know, all this expenses have gone up, right? You notice, right? So it's just everything's going through the roof. And you don't have a lot of money. So you're not taking these extravagant vacations. But when are you the most healthiest? And then you retire, and hopefully, and my mother and father-in-law are probably saying this, praying, hopefully the kids are out of the house, you know, getting out, we don't have to spend on them. Hopefully they are their own expense, they're on their own little islands, they're no longer ours to be forking money out for. We already have our fixed budget, we already have the house paid for, we already have the car paid, everything's already paid for, so all this money we're getting in retirement is ours, and we get to go do the things we want. We get to go to wherever place in, whatever, Mogadishu or whatever in Mexico. We get to go off to Paris, and we get to go off to Mount Everest and climb, you know. Are you going to do that in your 70s? Anybody know how many steps is down there at Mogadishu? You can go climb those. And you get your little oxygen tank on and haul 200 pounds on your back up the highest mountain in the world, go to Kathmandu and climb Mount Everest. You going to do that? 80s? See, you're not healthy then. And so you don't get to live your best life. You don't get to go do all that fun stuff that you have all this money for now. So we decide the beach is great. I don't got to do anything at the beach but lay there. Exercise. The immediate effect, sweating like a pig, questioning life choices, the long-term benefit, health, wellness, and all the other. Saving money. Immediate effect, saying goodbye to your social life and hello to ramen noodles. Long-term benefit, financial independence, being able to take care of yourself, the ability to give to others. Difficult conversations. The immediate effect, wishing you could fake your own death to avoid the awkwardness. Nobody likes difficult conversations. That's the immediate effect. But the long-term benefit, having peace, proper boundaries, better future, hopefully. Home maintenance. The immediate effect, spending your day off trying not to grumble and complain, he says cuss, while Googling how to get rid of asbestos. Long-term benefit, living in a home that's nice to come home to. There's a little bit of line that got copied over. Sorry about that. That missed the editing. So in other words, there are immediate effects of things. There are long-term benefits of things. A lot of times those immediate effects are very displeasurable, but the long-term effects are pleasurable. So I always tell my kids, sometimes you have to fight the battle to win the war. Okay, the war is the overall thing you're trying to win for peace, but those battles are not peaceful. And if you're a Christian living in the Western world, chances are that the culturally pervasive thought, I deserve to be happy, morphs into something even more dangerous. And what's the morph? Not only do I deserve to be happy, but it is in fact definitely God's job to make me happy. After all, when are we most unhappy with God? When we're not happy. Okay. When we're not happy, we're most unhappy with God. It's not when he doesn't do everything. Excuse me. Is it not when he doesn't do everything within his power to protect our happiness? How could you let this happen to me, God? You're unhappy with him. He didn't protect your wonderful happiness. Something happened to you and you're wondering, why? Or heaven forbid, God himself sends something along that is in direct contradiction to your happiness. Here's a problem. This problem is meant to refine you. This problem is meant to show you areas where I want you to grow. Or here's a circumstance, a calling, like Jim Johnson gets called to Alaska. Please, God, never let it be so. Or Siberia. Ugh. But that's myself, right? That's self-talking. Something that's in direct contradiction to your happiness. It's his job to make you happy, isn't it? Treating God as if it's his job to make you happy will most certainly lead you to feeling unhappy with God sooner rather than later. And in fact, eventually you're going to think thoughts like this, and he puts this into the book. Well, I tried the God thing so I could be happy, but I still have cancer. Didn't work. My kids are still a mess. Didn't work. I'm not better off financially. Didn't work. The divorce still happened. Didn't work. We still haven't gotten pregnant. Didn't work. I'm still single. Didn't work. I'm no more happier than I was before. Didn't work. And let's come to a close. If we think our pleasure and happiness is what God most wants for us, then we'll start to believe that any discomfort, delay, hardship, or inconvenience is all God's fault. If something doesn't go right, we'll blame him for not doing his job. Who's God in that scenario? And while I don't want to leave you on a negative point, I really do need to go. I'm a little late. I'm sorry? Yes, when we create it. Well, I don't want to leave us in a negative part. The idea is this. Why does God send these problems? Why does God send a calling? Why does God do things that are in direct contradiction to your happiness? Growth. Faith. Spiritual strength. Stamina. Endurance. Ministry opportunity. There are all kinds of reasons why you and I may be unhappy in life, and the book will get into it in a little bit. In fact, I'll take a little aside from the book just to get into a few things next week. But you see how the pattern of pleasure overtakes people and what they start to think about when it's all about them and it's all about their happiness. Yes, sir. Yes, actively working behind the scenes. We don't get it, but it's there. It's there. Yes, ma'am. Ah, yes. Yes, absolutely. Thank you for that. And she's putting a note very well said into God's sovereignty and his providence in our lives, and understanding that, so that we don't walk around assuming this is all about us and it's all about our little condition called happiness. It's all about him and what he's trying to do and understanding his work, which is a little bit even what Jackson said about that behind-the-scenes stuff going on. Well, thank you, guys. Let me do this. Let's pray so that I can get you guys moving, and then we can be dismissed this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to look into this. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to take up the challenge on both parts, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, and Father, also on the idea of loving you and enjoying you forever, and that you become our happiness. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll see you in just a little bit for the